Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Good morning, everybody. Summer is a time for excitement. So go ahead and switch things up with a new recipe from HelloFresh with pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions. It's never been easier to try something new. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, with code INVEST14 at HelloFresh.com/14. Good Monday morning, everyone. It is July 19th. Can you believe we're already like kind of halfway through the summer? I guess it's halfway through the summer. On today's show, the bipartisan infrastructure negotiations took a bizarre turn this weekend. Billionaire Bezos gets ready to blast off tomorrow. While at the same time, Amazon firing people using an app on the phone to let them know that they're fired. Even if it's not accurate, they don't care. And Pfizer is pushing for COVID booster shots. But do we even need them? So what is their motivation? We'll get into that. And the votes are in. Can you name America's worst state to live in? We've got the details this morning. Get your votes in. Let me know in the chat what you think the worst state in the country to live in. Let us know. And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Morning Invest, your morning news show. I'm Clayton Morris. David's here in the control booth. Are you fostering another puppy that you're going to be upset that you have to give back?
Yeah, I'm fostering this. This is, can't really see her. Clarice.
What's her name? Do you get to name
Clarice?
Clarice. Hello, Clarice.
Yeah. She's sleeping. I put a little bed down here by the, so I got my little Clarice cam.
So we got two, it's like two puppy, dual puppy cams today.
Yeah, there we go.
Grover cam and Clarice cam.
She's got really long legs too, like Grover. So she's built kind of like him. Only she's definitely a Chihuahua. She's got the apple head.
The cute little apple head. Well, Grover's getting jealous. Grover's getting jealous. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the show. Hey, we've got a daily newsletter. I don't talk about it enough. But I should, and it's my mistake. I really apologize for it. But check out our Morning Invest newsletter. If you go to morninginvest.com, please sign up. If you want to be more informed, learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter, which is sent by email right to your inbox first thing in the morning. Let me pull it up here on the screen because people like wonder, like, what does it look like? Is it just junk mail? It's like, no, it's not. We spend like 3 hours in the morning writing this thing every morning. It looks like this. So just go to the mailing list here. Pretty simple to see. And just put your email address in. It should be delivered to your inbox like between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern. Best part is it's totally free. You'll be more informed throughout the day because you'll kick your day off right over a cup of coffee. So it's morninginvest.com is the website. Set that up. Hey, maybe while... looks like because I moved my shot. You might have noticed we kind of rejiggered the studio a little bit. It's nowhere near complete. but some things kind of coming together with the new studio setup. Let me know what you guys think about it. And I should also say that I'm really excited about, because we just passed 600,000 subscribers on our channel. 600,000. So thank you to all of our new subscribers. If you're new here, 600,000 subscribers. That's pretty remarkable, really remarkable. And I'm really flattered and touched by that. So thanks to all of you for supporting the show. I really, and if you're not a subscriber, what are you doing? You got to become a subscriber. Go ahead and do that right now. Just click the little subscribe button and you'll be added to our subscribe list. And also turn on that little bell notification, so you'll be notified as soon as we go live every day. So it's going to be a crazy week. David's rejiggering something here on the shot because we moved the studio around. And so does that look good now?
Yeah.
I'm going for full beard. My little girl, my four-year-old's like, Daddy, your beard looks different in different lighting. So she was like standing there scrub, and then she like stepped back. She's like, it's a different color when you're over here. It's the gray, you know, it's the gray. It's reflective. It's like an anti-reflective coating. I wish I could do that to it though. So thank you guys. Thank you to everyone who is a subscriber of the channel. I really appreciate that. We work really hard around here to bring you news that you're not going to see on the major morning networks and other places, major billionaire run networks. So we try to bring you the unbiased news here to give you the straight skinny. And that's our goal every day on this show. All right, so let's take a look at the markets. We got a busy week ahead of us. So stocks are down this morning over concerns over that pesky Delta variant. Everything is down this morning. Not everyone is worried about COVID, though. The UK government is opening up fully today. So today is UK Freedom Day. That's what they're calling it. And last night, Boris Johnson sent out this tweet. And I'm just like, are you, like, you literally just don't even bother combing your hair at all? But this was his announcement. And it's a bit ironic because he's now under isolation. He came in contact with someone who had COVID, so he's now under isolation, but he's also announcing COVID Freedom Day.
Hi, folks. Like so many hundreds of thousands of other people across the country, I've been pinged. I've been asked to self-isolate by the test, trace, and isolate system after I've been in contact with somebody who has COVID. In this case, of course, the Health Secretary, Sajid Javid. And we did look...
By the way, what a nice little jab there. By the way, the person I came in contact with is the Health Secretary who has COVID. Nice little jab. Like normally, you know, you don't sort of give up. Like, oh, you know, I just got like testing and tracing. I figured out that, you know, it might have been somebody nearby. But it was this guy. It was this guy. So, by the way, yes, of course it was him. And that's why I'm self-isolating this morning. Yeah, I got COVID. By the way, it was David who, of course it was.
That SOB.
That SOB. That's why I've got COVID.
The idea of us taking part in the pilot scheme, which allows people to test daily. But I think it's far more important that everybody sticks to the same rules. And that's why I'm going to be self-isolating until the 26th of July, Monday, the 26th of July. And I know how frustrating it all is, but I really do urge everybody to stick with the program and take the appropriate course of action when you're asked to do so by NHS Test and Trace. And the reason for that is we're going tomorrow into step four. We're doing a big opening up, and that's quite right. If we don't do it now, then we'll be opening up in the autumn, the winter months, when the virus has the advantage of the cold weather. We lose the precious fire break that we get with the school holidays. If we don't do it now, we've got to ask ourselves, when will we ever do it? So
that's it. We're opening up UK Freedom Day. So, I mean, there's like thousands of doctors that sent him a letter saying like, what are you doing with this experiment? Are you just like experimenting on people? Let me know what you think. Anybody watching from the UK right now, like, where do you come in on this? Like, what's your thought on all of this? We're going to talk more about the Delta variant in just a few moments as it relates to Pfizer story that has me not surprised at all, by the way. Not surprised on the Pfizer story. And I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about that as well, which we'll get to in just a moment. But hey, we got earnings this week as well in the markets. We've got a slate of earnings reports this week, include Netflix, Coca-Cola, Chipotle. It's going to be interesting to see, right? Chipotle raised their prices. Remember, we told you that story a few months ago. because the cost of everything going up, right? So they raised their prices. It'll be interesting to see their earnings. IBM, Twitter, Snap, Intel, Johnson & Johnson this week as well, Verizon. So this week is going to be a very busy week on Wall Street. The reason I'm talking about these earnings, I don't really give a rat's behind about these companies. I just, to me, it's a gauge of where we go in the economy and the broader sort of opening up. We'll see. Cruise line stocks are down today, as well as energy stocks, because of concerns about the Delta variant. Could cruise lines have to shut back down again? Hey, I don't know if any of you guys are going to watch the Olympics. Another big story this week, the opening ceremony for the Olympics will air at 7 a.m. Eastern time on Friday. I always get thrown off about these, like Olympics starting at like 7 in the morning. But that's when the opening ceremony will take place, at 7 a.m. on Friday, because it's in Tokyo. But there won't be any fans there, though. So it's going to be empty stadiums. And many of the athletes are not going to arrive until the weekend. They've already had some test positive now in Olympic Village for COVID. So it's really bizarre. I mean, and the Japanese people don't want it there. Japanese, you know, it's more of an older population in Japan. They're like, we don't want it here. So it's going to be weird. I don't know. No fans at the Olympics. Feels weird. How many of you guys are going to watch it? Are you going to watch it?
I never watch it. Did they pay the same? You know how when they come in, they put all this money into the Olympics and building these infrastructures and stuff. Did they even do all that this time?
I don't know. I think in some cases they built like some stuff around this Olympic Village, but I don't think it was the amount of money that they spent before, like what they would before. I saw Joe Rogan the other day railing against the Olympics, saying, you know, hey, like spend this money on helping people. You know, like you go into Atlanta and you kick out all the homeless people, right? And you move people out of the way to make your city look more like Olympic friendly. And then all these people get displaced. Imagine if we took all of that money and we were able to build like low income housing or revitalize schools. But instead we spend it, you know, it's amazing how much money we can pull out of the woodwork just to build a new Olympic Village for a few weeks. You know,
yeah, well, and the thing is, like in some countries where they've done that, the Olympic Village and everything that they did to build it is still there, but it's like a ghost town.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable the amount of money that they just waste.
Yeah, yeah, I catch some of them. I'm more of the Winter Olympics. I liked watching. You know, I like watch like bobsled stuff and skiing. I like watching that stuff. I'm more of a, you know, and I don't know. Sometimes in the Summer Olympics, I guess some of the gymnastics stuff and, you know, pretty cool, but I don't know. Not really into it. Back when I used to play water polo all the time, I'd watch some water polo games on for the Summer Olympics, but those games are hard to find.
I definitely used to watch it back a long time ago, but anymore I'm just like, yeah, I just, the whole thing.
Yeah. How do you spell yeah?
I would spell it N-U-A-H-Y.
Yeah. What do you guys think in the chat? How do you spell nyeh? Let's start using that more often. Nyeh.
Yeah.
We gotta get a little sound bite going.
I think Bugs Bunny has that coined that nyeh. Phrase.
Yeah.
What's up, Doc?
Hey, all this Friday also, so we're rounding out sort of a week of like updates. I'm kind of giving you like the week ahead here, the things that are on my charts, right? We've got earnings, we've got the Olympics. We're going to get to Bezos in a minute. He blasts off tomorrow, but I've got a deeper story on him. And Ted Lasso coming back this week. So on Friday, season 2 of Ted Lasso hits Apple Plus. I'm excited about that. So huge fan. That's what my week looks like. I'm looking forward to that this week. So Ted Lasso. We're going to get to our stimulus update. We're going to talk Bezos. We're going to talk about a whole lot of other news this morning. But first, I want to tell you about some nuts. How about our friends over at nuts.com? These guys, they're my favorite. And my family's favorite, by the way. They've been ordering it now on their own. They're just like, I want more nuts from nuts.com. It's the best kept secret of savvy snackers across the country. They have a high variety and high quality of delicious snacks available, like white chocolate toffee cashews, bourbon pecans, which are amazing, crystallized ginger and honey sesame sticks. The honey sesame sticks my little girl loves. They are a family-run business that takes pride in getting you the freshest and fastest delivery possible, right to your door. Roasted cashews, roasted mixed nuts, and they have dried fruits as well. They have vegan options, gluten-free options, everything that you could ask for. Some delicious chocolate-covered pretzels, which are my favorite. The milk chocolate gummy bears. Delivery is fast. Most orders ship the same day. But if you guys want to get free shipping, you got to try this. Just all you need to do is you get free shipping on your first order when you text the word invest to 64,000 on your smartphone. So just text the word invest to 64,000 and they'll send you a link to get free shipping on your first order from nuts.com. That's invest to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at nuts.com/terms. Over 4,000 products to choose from. Really big fan of those guys. So our thanks to Nuts.
Is it 64,000 or 6,400?
64,000. 64,000. 64,000. Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. Yes. There you go. All right, we got to get some news here. So let's talk the stimulus now. We had some major moves this weekend on the stimulus. Let me bring you up to speed on where we are with this bipartisan infrastructure stimulus. And I don't know. You know, when you're like trying to pin your hopes and dreams on the Senate or the Congress, you might, you know, that's setting yourself up for disaster, right? So it's like thinking that someone's going to change. Right? Like maybe this time he'll change. It's not going to happen, right? Senate Majority Leader, though, Chuck Schumer has set a Wednesday deadline to have a draft of this bipartisan infrastructure bill on his desk. Meanwhile, the House returns today. So everyone's back. The gang is back in town. And things are about to get serious on the Senate bipartisan infrastructure deal, which is, of course, $3.5 trillion. And the $3.5 trillion budget resolution. So we've got two, right? We've got the bipartisan $1 trillion deal and then the $3.5 trillion budget resolution, which they'll do on their own without Republicans. So I'm going to get you up to speed on where we are right now. I mean, Wednesday's deadline is a pipe dream, in my opinion, at this point. But Schumer needs the bipartisan group to file an actual proposal in legislative text form and then get it scored by the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office. So they need it text, then they need to give it over to the CBO, which doesn't seem close to happening at this point. Schumer has to be careful here that he also doesn't like try to alienate some of these moderates like Joe Manchin, John Tester out of Montana, Maggie Hassan out of New Hampshire, Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, especially Sinema. Because he desperately needs this budget resolution by playing hardball on the bipartisan infrastructure package. Sinema literally wouldn't respond to reporters' questions on Thursday as she skipped town to go to Arizona. Like they were asking her, where do you come down on this? She's like, no comment, no comment, no comment. So we don't know where Sinema's going to come down on this. We'll also note that Manchin, Tester, Hassan, and Sinema haven't endorsed the budget resolution yet. Oh, and sidebar note, I thought this was a funny thing. This past weekend, Joe Manchin basically went to a Republican fundraiser. So, you know, he's a Democrat. I don't know if you caught that part, but going to a fundraiser put on by Republicans for him. He's a Democrat?
They're all the same.
Yeah, I mean, just another example of how they're all the same, right? So, and we'll also point out that a vote for a budget resolution at this point only begins the long process of crafting a reconciliation package. Like a final vote may not come for a couple of months yet. Senator Rob Portman, though, complained on Sunday that he needs more time. How much more time do you freaking need? Maybe if you guys didn't take all these vacations all the time, you could have gotten this done. So right now, Schumer does not want to give anybody more time. Senator Rob Portman this weekend on CNN had this to say about needing a little bit more time.
Portman of Ohio, thank you for joining me this morning, Senator. I know that you and your colleagues are working through the weekend to try to finalize this bipartisan infrastructure bill. Will it be ready by Wednesday?
Well, we're still working on it. It's more important to get it right than to meet an arbitrary deadline. And we are still negotiating. In fact, last night I was negotiating some of the final details with the White House, and later today we will be having additional negotiations with the Republicans and Democrats who've come together to put this bill into a track that's very unusual for Washington. You know, people are used to legislation being on the Republican side or the Democrat side, and this is a little confusing for people because it's actually 11 Republicans and 11 Democrats putting this together. Chuck Schumer, with all due respect, is not writing the bill, nor is Mitch McConnell, by the way. So that's why we shouldn't have an arbitrary deadline of Wednesday. We should bring the legislation forward when it's ready. And it's incredibly important legislation. You know,
So screw you, Schumer, on your Wednesday deadline, basically. Okay,
have we seen it yet?
No, we haven't seen anything yet.
We've not even seen a draft, nothing like.
No, because again, the Congressional Budget Office needs a copy of this bill in order to score it. And what happens, here's the process. And then once it happens, once they score this bill, they're like, oh, this is a pile of crap. Then they're going to go back and say, oh my God, we're going to take this thing out, or the CBO didn't think that this was a good measure and this is not going to provide enough money. Basically, they need to figure out a way to pay for it is the bottom line. And so what they agreed to this weekend, Portman and the others basically had we learned this weekend, here's sort of the breaking news on the whole thing. They've admitted that they're dropping the IRS portion of the bill. Now, remember the IRS, they were going to give them a lot more money to go after tax cheats. Republicans didn't like it. Republicans basically said, okay, we're done with this. Republicans said, we don't want this because we don't want extra money going to the IRS to get more out of people, basically. And Democrats are like, well, wait a minute. We have all of these millionaires and billionaires that don't pay their fair share in taxes. If we give the IRS more money to do its job, it'll actually increase the amount of money the government brings in, and therefore this will pay for it.
Not true. They won't go after the big guys. They'll only go after the little people like they always do.
Well, that's I think how you and I come down on this, right? That the argument is that they're going to go after the big guys. Well, Republicans are worried that that might actually happen. Meanwhile,
they could still go after the big guys. If they wanted to fund themselves.
They already have a budget to go at. That's what their job is now. Go after the big guys. That's what do you need more? Just do your job. But of course, my big fear, my concern, of course, is that they would go after the little guy. That's what they do all the time anyway, right? They go after the little guy in this. And those are the people that are disproportionately audited. So how are they going to pay for this?
The system's built to go after the little guy, obviously.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to pay for this. If you take out this piece of it, which would have brought in, according to numbers, $60 to $70 billion in additional revenue by having the IRS beef this up, okay, those are the estimates. Now you're going to remove that. So the big question is, how are you going to pay for this?
They could easily just remove $60 billion from the war budget. I mean, you know, it's already overinflated.
No, because if that happens, Lindsey Graham is going to leave town.
Well, good riddance.
Lindsey Graham basically said this weekend, hey, they want to try to get all squirrely with this. You know, they're going to try to spend money on infrastructure. I'm going to skip town. I'm going to go back to South Carolina.
Support. But before Republicans beat up on the Democrats in Texas for leaving Texas too much, if for some reason they pass reconciliation budget resolution to bring that bill to the floor of the United States Senate, the $3.5 trillion bill, you got to have a quorum to pass a bill in the Senate. I would leave before I'd let that happen. So to my Republican colleagues, we may learn something from our Democratic friends in Texas when it comes to avoiding a $3.5 trillion tax and spend package.
You see her face?
Leave town.
She's like, whoa. Wow.
So you just see them leave and you're saying, fine, they were effective in not giving the Republicans a quorum. You'll do the same thing on a $3.5 trillion tax and spend.
Hey, Vice President Harris, if you think these people are heroes, well, then I expect you to show up and pat us on the back. Hell yeah, I would leave. I will use everything lawfully in my toolbox to prevent rampant inflation. A $3.5 trillion infrastructure package that's got nothing to do with infrastructure, that is a tax and spend dream of the socialist left. If it takes me not showing up to stop that, I will do it, because if we pass that bill, you're going to have inflation through the roof. And if they put legalizing illegal immigrants in that bill, you're going to have a complete run on the border. It will be throwing jet fuel on a fire.
I love all these like just random metaphors. You know, he's just literally talking out of his ass, isn't he? That's all he ever does. It's going to as we debunked this past Friday or the Thursday on our show, if you caught us talking about inflation, you're going to hear Republicans continue to say that the spending right now, that what we're spending on stimulus has caused us to have inflation. Well, we debunk that.
No, printing money out of thin air.
Well, that's, yes, printing money out of thin air, propping up Wall Street to the tune of $120 billion a month, and a bottleneck because of a pandemic. The reason we're paying more for lumber, and now it's gone back down. The reason we're paying more for all kinds of different things, chips, for computers, everything, rental cars,
because we don't have enough of them, because of the bottleneck. As we pointed out last week, the data shows us that so they're going to try to use this fear-mongering scare tactics on stimulus that we can't afford it because it's going to, see, you're paying more for milk right now. That's because of Biden's stimulus. They said, or that's because of Trump's stimulus back in March of 2020. That's why you're paying more for milk. It's
sure as heck fire drop some more billions into, you know, nukes and stuff that we desperately need.
Right. I just love the hypocrisy. We can continue to spend billions of dollars on Wall Street and funneling defense contractor dollars. But when it comes to taking care of infrastructure in the United States, you know, he talks about these liberal programs like child care. I love that. Like child care is somehow not part of infrastructure in our country.
When we talk about Republicans and Democrats being exactly the same here, it's like when there's something for the people, they're so divided, but they do not contest a thing when it comes to anything war budget or anything to help their buddies. That's why I say they are the exact same party, because they don't even argue about that stuff. They only argue when it's stuff that benefits us.
Right. Yeah, and he wants to blame. So this is the warning shot, and I knew this was coming last week. We talked about it on the show. More and more you're hearing from Republicans, and frankly, you're hearing from some Democrats as well, like Manchin and others who are Democrat in name only, that, you know, the reason we're paying more for things right now, it's because of this stimulus, you know, because we helped people. No, it's not. No, it's not. As we pointed out last week. But I'll continue to point that out. I'll continue to call BS on this story.
And I guarantee you the reason we have not seen this bill yet is because there's nothing good in it.
Yeah. We'll have to see. I mean, I like your cynicism shirt. I put it on here because I see your cynicism shirt. I will see. Cynicism equals intelligence. I will see. I agree with you, but I want to wait and see if we see a bill this week, a draft of it. We'll go through it. We'll see what's in there to help schools. You know, one of the things that Lindsey Graham even blasted, he talked about, you know, child tax credits and he talked about child care and he talked about early childhood education. He's like, that's not part of infrastructure. Okay. So you're literally, you would skip town. You would literally go to the mat on helping children. So you would skip town so you don't have to vote on it. But when it comes to building bombs and lining the pockets of defense contractors, you won't skip town.
Lindsey Graham is the first one in town for those bills.
Right. He's always there.
Yeah.
Where's the coffee and donuts? I'm here. He's
sitting there in the chamber eating coffee and donuts with a smile on his face. Today's war budget. Today's war budget. Oh my gosh.
Today's war.
I got everybody donuts up here.
Yeah. Unbelievable. You know what else is unbelievable is Pfizer. So this story really bothers me on a couple of levels. You won't see this being talked about much anywhere else, probably. Pfizer is now pitching COVID booster shots without any sort of substantial evidence for their medical need right now. And basically, that could maintain Pfizer's record for higher revenues for years to come.
When you say booster, you mean for babies?
No, I mean for you and me. Like if you've already got your Pfizer 1 and 2 doses, you know, the two doses, then guess what? You need, Pfizer wants you to basically lock in once a year getting an additional booster shot. So that it's like icing on the cake for you.
I thought we already knew that, like that they were talking about how this would be an annual thing.
Yeah. Well, Pfizer CEO and Greek physician Albert Bourla has assured investors that the recent lag in the U.S. vaccinations was only temporary. Talking about like shareholders, right? Beyond the year 22 and 23, he says, first of all, we believe, as we said multiple times, that there will be a need for booster shots. He told shareholders at the Q1 earnings meeting. Then he went on to say that he believes annual vaccinations, or at least regular vaccinations, would be likely required because they've been lobbying Washington. They've been lobbying everyone to basically get these into production so that these will be part of our life. Belinda says, screw that. And Pfizer sets its hope for an annual booster shot in motion by submitting a request for emergency use to the authorization to the Food and Drug Administration. So now they're basically saying this is an emergency, FDA. We've got to get these booster shots. So FDA, you better push this through. And look, it's kind of like, you know, you give me an inch and you take a mile. Like the FDA, hasn't even approved these yet, right?
I wish they would just say what they really mean. Like, we need these billions of dollars in profit. Can you please approve this? Like, just say what you mean.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what they're asking for. I mean, I'm glad you and I can see through this, but what they're trying to do is fear-mongering. And good for the FDA, because listen, the FDA pushed back on this. The FDA released a statement, and the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, and the FDA pushed back on this Pfizer BS. When have you heard that happening? But they've rebuked Pfizer's call for boosters. And they said Americans who have been fully vaccinated do not need a booster shot, the statement said. Now, that could be like good cop, bad cop in a way, because in some ways maybe it forces people to go get the regular vaccine. But I don't know. I don't want to be that cynical like your T-shirt. I just think that what they're saying is that there's no, and Karen says there's no science to support it. She's absolutely right. Like, what is the vaccine? And so their whole reasoning right now is because Pfizer's basically saying, well, we're worried about this Delta variant. The Delta variant is why people need to get this booster. They're lying to you. They're lying to you.
Well, they've been lying already. I mean, people are getting the virus after vaccination. Like, none of this is approved.
Well, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner, basically says, you know, all of the people that have gotten this Delta variant, they've all not been vaccinated.
Vaccinated, but what's your big takeaway right now about what seems to be quite a move in terms of the trend?
That's right. A lot of the disease that we're seeing is in unvaccinated people. Los Angeles County Hospitals reported that they don't have a single case right now that's in an unvaccinated person. All their cases that they're admitting are unvaccinated people. Look, if you take a step back and you assume, as we've said before, that about 85% of the population is going to develop some form of immunity to COVID by the time Delta is done coursing through the population, given how contagious it is, that doesn't mean we'll be at herd immunity at 85%, but it means that the velocity of spread will certainly decline. And if you assume that of that 85%, we'll vaccinate about 60% of the population, and you further assume that of the people who remain unvaccinated, about 40% have had COVID, which I think is a safe assumption. It's a little bit of a high assumption, but I think it's probably a safe assumption. Then you get to figures of around 25 million people who need to become infected with COVID, need to develop immunity to COVID, before this really stops coursing through the population with the velocity that we're seeing right now. That's consistent with other estimates, other models have been put out. Trevor Bedford, who's modeled this at the Hutch, who's been pretty reliable through the whole crisis, says about 30 million Americans will become infected with Delta by the time it's done coursing through the population. That's between now and the end of the fall. I think that's probably ballpark right. And the outbreaks are really going to be concentrated in regions of the country where vaccination rates are low.
Can I ask a question really quick? Like, if... Okay, so... Are they doing the exact same test that they were doing for the original? Like, if you're doing the exact same test for both, how do they know when they run it that, oh, this is the Delta and this is not? Like that just seems like you'd have to run a completely different test and you'd have to do a more detailed test, which would be more expensive. Like, there would be other things that they would have to do to be like, well, this is the Delta variant or this is this variant. Because it's not like a scientific thing. It's like they put it in this thing. It says it's positive. It's not like, oh, if it's slightly more pink, it's Delta.
Right. Like, what the heck? I mean, they literally have to look at it under a microscope to determine. Like, how do they even know?
They're definitely not doing that for every single person. They've got people pulling out a microscope and looking.
No way.
BS.
No way. Of course not. You know, and I mean, when we see a story like Pfizer really wants you to get this booster shot, come on. And literally they're talking to shareholders about what they want to get this booster shot into production so that it's a yearly thing so they can lock in billions of dollars in profits on a regular basis. You know, as people are saying in the chat, like, like Nicole, they never said you couldn't get COVID after getting vaccinated. No, that's the thing. It's like, no, we know that people got COVID after getting vaccinated. I think the point that they're making, that the FDA is making, is if the people that have gotten vaccinated are like the cases of them getting this new Delta variant, or they're like protected against it, I guess is what they're saying. So my point of bringing up this story is that Pfizer is saying that there's no evidence for what they're arguing. Pfizer's main argument is that for a booster is that the Delta variant. You got to get this booster because, you know, while our vaccine is effective, the Delta variant can also be a problem. So we need to get these boosters out once a year to make sure you're protected against these ongoing variants. But there's no evidence of it. And the FDA is saying that's not the case. If you're immunized, you're protected against this. But that's a rare move, I have to say, from the FDA and the CDC. I mean, they've been all up these guys' butts for the last year, lining their pockets as much as they possibly can. And now you're getting this pushback. It's like Pfizer just gets extra greedy. I mean, and it's no secret that Pfizer hugely benefited from the pandemic. On December 8th of last year, its stock price surged to its annual high of $42, increasing 8% in the span of a week.
Oh, it was a mad race. When this first came out, it was a mad race with these three companies to be the first to not help people, not get out there to help people, not to help the world, but to get the patent. That was the most important thing. We got to get that patent. Because if they didn't care as much about the patent, they would have just given it to the world and said, hey, let's get this out here. This is global. Well, let's work together as a global community. But no, they didn't work with the Germans. They didn't work with anybody. They worked in their little labs to keep it all private so that they could get the patents. If you look at the way this was all created from the beginning, it's 100% about profits. Otherwise, like I said, they would have worked with the global community and they would have all come together and been like, what do we got to do? Let's all work together to fix this. This is global. This affects all of us.
Yeah, why is the Chinese vaccine so terrible, right? Like, yeah. If they really cared, and when, you know, the team Biden floated the idea of basically turning the patent, you know, eliminating the patent, making it like a world-based patent, like you heard from these companies, they're like, no, we can't do that.
Can't do that, because then we can't make our profits. Like we're on track. These companies are literally on track with what they're doing, and then like with this booster to make trillions over, you know, years with this thing, and so. If it wasn't about profits, this would have been like, if you really, really, really want to help people, you would have worked together with other countries that also want to help people. But yeah. That's not what's going on. So exactly. Just like to me, that just makes it crystal clear what the motive is.
100%. 100%. And I think if you need any more evidence of this, the story we just brought you about this booster shot is all the evidence you need. To make up your own mind about where these companies sit. They really care about you, or do they care about their bottom line? We know the answer to that. But hey, I care about you. I want to tell you about our sponsor here, our friends over at Blue Chew. Blue Chew is an amazing company, and they've been supporting our show for quite a long time. You know, you could benefit from extra confidence with your loved one. Blue Chew can help you. We've got a special deal for our listeners. You can try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code INVEST at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. What is Blue Chew? It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. So you can actually take them. You can actually take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead. You know, you got to plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical professionals, right? Very, very simple to do. And then once you're approved, you're going to receive your prescription within days. It's that simple. It's online. It's easy. So there's no doctor's visits, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the United States. So, guys, there's nothing better than having some confidence. And Blue Chew can help you. And they're supporting our show, and they support you. So if you could benefit from a little extra confidence, give them a shot. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code INVEST at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code INVEST to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details. And importantly, there's important safety information as well. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Thanks, Blue Chew. All right. That's right. Jeannie says, arise to the occasion. Oh, man. Wicked Insanity says, it's funny, but I'm crazy crying right now. The entire world is a mess. I know. Look, you know, Natalie and I write the newsletter in the morning. We write the Morning Invest newsletter. We put a lot of hard work into that. But I got to tell you, we sit there and write it over coffee, and we just sit there and we just roll our eyes. We're like, what is going on? What is going on in this world? It's just startling. We got to take care of ourselves, guys. I mean, we got to, you know, and I the hope with this show and our newsletter is to help you navigate this corrupt world. These corrupt politicians, they do it under a veil of trying to help you. And I think what I try to do on this show is pull that veil back a little bit. And
it doesn't take much to pull it back, because all you have to do, it's really kind of simple. If you stop listening to what they say and watch what they do, it becomes crystal clear. If you stop watching their tweets, you stop listening to them on the news, and you start watching the bills that are being proposed, watch who's voting for them, who's not voting for them, investigate where their money's coming from, who is giving money to these politicians, it becomes crystal clear what the agenda is and what their motives are. And that's why I always say, They're the exact same party. None of them care. There's a slight few in there that care and try to do things, but whenever things don't go their way, they don't really fight that hard. So nobody is really in there fighting really hard for us.
No, not at all. There's few, maybe a few.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Bernie Sanders and maybe.
But even he's caved when he had power. You know, yeah. he had power to get a lot out of Biden when he first got in office. To agree to when he did get a good position, but he could have done a lot more with the power he had coming out of the election.
Yeah. And he could have pushed him on. He could have put, well, we all, you know, I lost sleep over this. I yelled till my voice was gone when I talked about minimum wage and what he could have done, what Bernie Sanders could have done, to Joe Biden on the $15 minimum wage, pushing that, didn't do it, didn't accomplish that.
Well, and let's not forget the force to vote on Medicare for All that Jimmy Dore had proposed, you know, that they all backed down on that. Like, it's like when they actually have an opportunity, there's an opportunity that presents itself to actually help the people. That's when you realize what they're truly about, because if they pull back from that, then it becomes obvious. And that's the thing, that Medicare for All thing, that force to vote, that really pulled back the curtains on a lot of, even like the progressive Democrats.
The squad
pulled the veil back and revealed who they really are.
Yeah. Yeah, they had an opportunity. The squad had an opportunity. And all they did was take to Twitter. Ro Khanna, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Priya Jayapal, like all of those, right? All of the squad, all of those people who were supposed to be the progressive that were going to hold Nancy Pelosi's feet to the fire, were going to hold Joe Biden's feet to the fire, they went weak. Right, they just took to Twitter. They would talk about what the things that they wanted, but they won't. They wouldn't force the vote. They wouldn't stand up to these guys.
Well, and one of the main reasons AOC even got elected was because she ran on Medicare for All, saying that it doesn't have to be like, you know, years. It can be within this amount of time. Like, she ran on that, saying that she was going to fight for that now, not wait. And then she didn't. When she had a golden opportunity.
Yeah. Your Imperial Your Majesty says the squat. Yeah. Squat. Yeah. Had a golden opportunity, an amazing opportunity. Well, you know, someone who had an opportunity to take on Jeff Bezos was Bernie Sanders, and he rose to the occasion not too long ago, flew to Alabama to support their right to unionize because of the terrible conditions under which Amazon workers are forced to work, you know, peeing in bottles and being monitored at every second so they don't have an opportunity to go to the bathroom. They have to fill their quota, drivers the same way. Well, you know, obviously all eyes on Jeff Bezos tomorrow, right? So Jeff Bezos taking off the Blue Origin spacecraft. He's flying to space tomorrow. He's going to be on there with an 18-year-old and like an 82-year-old taking off. You know, couldn't beat what Richard Branson had done. So he's going to be second to space of the billionaire class. Remember, Blue Origin, of course, has gotten $40 billion in government handouts in order to fly. Meanwhile, Amazon paying nothing in taxes. So Jeff Bezos getting bailout money from you, the taxpayers, in order to fund his Blue Origin space project.
So he's basically getting a free ride to space.
Free ride to space on the backs of what you guys pay. Meanwhile, this comes on a story that just has me absolutely fired up, which is being fired by the machine. So we're getting more understanding of what goes on at Amazon and how people are fired. Stephen Normandin spent almost 4 years racing around Phoenix delivering packages as a contract driver for Amazon. And then one day he received an automated email. The algorithms tracking him had decided that he wasn't doing his job properly, and he was fired by an app. Yep, he was out of a job just from an app. He says the Amazon punished him for things beyond his control that prevented him from completing his delivery, such as locked apartment complexes that he couldn't get in to deliver a package. He was a military guy, so he prided himself on working very hard. He said, I'm an old school kind of guy. I give every job 110%. This really upset me because we're talking about my reputation. Now he's been fired, and it's difficult for him to find a job because now he has fired on his, you know, on his track record. Increasingly, the company is ceding its human resources operation to machines, using software to not only manage workers, its warehouses, but oversee contract drivers, independent delivery companies, and even the performance of its office workers. Basically, they're saying, you know, people are saying that they get notifications on their app, letting them know that basically they've been let go. And of course, they're being tracked all around the state where on their driving routes. And they say they get human feedback is incredibly rare. Drivers occasionally receive automated emails.
But you know what's weird is a lot of those Amazon delivery truck companies are independent, are third party. I mean, they're somewhat independent. So I wonder if that was the official Amazon, or if that was one of the third parties.
I think it was one of the official Amazon, because they'll contract with sort of last mile companies, you know, to do that. But then they're independent of that. And so, yeah, these are definitely Amazon drivers who have an Amazon paycheck, who have that app that they're logged in, and say that basically, like, this is happening all the time where they're like that the algorithms are firing people inadvertently. So these people have no recourse. They can't go back to their like anybody and complain about it. Isn't that amazing? Like, if they get fired, who do you go to talk to now? I've been fired. Like,
they got to talk. Where do they take their truck? They got to deliver their truck back to somebody or get the keys back to somebody or something. There's got to be some chain of command.
We had a story on the show about a woman who was fired. She went to the office, and she was literally walking in, and a guy just like walked up to her and handed her something. And he's like, you know, based on the system, we're sorry, you're let go. And she's like, but everything on my app says I'm fine. Like, I'm there's nothing wrong. Like, why? That was just their determination. So bye, you're gone. Yeah. And see, flex drivers, as they're being called, have little recourse when they believe that they've been deactivated unfairly. There's no paid administrative leave during an appeal. Drivers can pay $200 to take their dispute to arbitration. So you can pay to fight it, to go to arbitration, but few do, seeing it as a waste of time and money.
So what is a flex driver? Is that...
I think that's... I mean, anyone here been an Amazon driver? I think a flex driver is just... they're just a contract worker for Amazon. And they don't get like full-time benefits, you know.
So probably people, because I have seen people come to my house driving what appears to be their own vehicle.
I think that's what those are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazon doesn't care, says one former Amazon employee. They know most people get their packages, and 2 or 3% who don't will still get it eventually.
Becky says flex driver is self-employed.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Amazon. Well, but hey, Bezos, I hope you do really well tomorrow on your launch. We'll see, you know, funded by taxpayers. I wonder if the networks will do sort of like the same full big coverage like they did for Virgin Galactic. But it was a very slow day. It was like a Saturday. So it was like a slow day. You had all the networks like covering. It was like an hour special.
I wonder if he's going to lobby Congress to make it National Bezos Day. So another bank holiday. So banks can... not move money another day and get some more interest.
I love that they designed this like spacecraft too. Like this, like giant phallus. Like you have all like, like everything you could put pen to paper and come up with. Like this is what you came up with.
Yeah. They should have painted it peach and made it look like him, like a bald head.
Paint his head on the side of it with some ears. Some ears.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, I think somebody had to have been like, we want it to look like a giant, you know.
Yeah. Like rocketing into space. Yeah.
The arrogance.
You know, look at Virgin Galactic's. It's like a, it looks like an aircraft. You know, it's, it doesn't look anything like that.
I thought that one looked really cool.
Yeah. And if you think anyone would have like done it, it would have been like Richard Branson, like Virgin Galactic. Are you kidding me? You know? But no.
Even his name is better.
It's true. Oh boy. All right, let's talk about the worst state to live in. So, all right, everyone gets your votes in. What do you guys think the worst state to live in? I saw a bunch saying Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi.
And, what's the criteria?
So the criteria is basically quality of life, social justice, air quality, water quality, crime, job, subsidies, top states for businesses, environment, like all of it, literally all of it.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Why would you say Oklahoma?
Just because it just seems like nothing happens there. It seems like it's just a big bowl of dust and...
So nothing happens there equals terrible place to live. No, you're wrong. Okay, let me start at number five here. By the way, this is the CNBC's big report. They spend like a long time working on this thing, and they do all sorts of analysis from, okay, I mentioned quality of life to job to crime to population growth to air quality, water quality, etc. So number five on the list of worst states is Tennessee. Tennessee.
If we were saying cities, I'd probably go with San Francisco.
I would, yeah, that would be at the top of the list. You got to think San Francisco's pretty terrible to live. I mean, it's completely unaffordable and homeless population out of control. It's beautiful. That's the sad thing. It's like San Francisco is beautiful, but it's just, it's gone. Like it's, no way. So number five on the list is Tennessee. Number three on the list tied is Missouri. And it, by the way, huge amounts of crime in Missouri and also lags in public health funding. Huge, very, very low voting rights, very bad on crime and public health funding. And Nevada, number three. So Nevada and Missouri tied for number three. No state spends less on the health of its citizens than Nevada. It also ranks dead last for primary care doctors per person. Air quality in the desert is poor. Crime is high. Number two on the list, surprised to see this, Texas. For all of its strengths to do business, Texas keeps trying to outdo itself when it comes to laws and policies that are seen as exclusionary.
I think they're pulling, because that could be like, you know, Austin could be pulling all that because of the stuff they do, the legislation, like even like keeping Uber out and stuff. Like, I wonder if it's based on a like who put this together?
So this all comes from CNBC, the top states for business report that they, states are increasingly emphasizing their quality of life as they seek to attract business and jobs, but not every state delivers on its promise. So they've been pushing this on their network. Number one on the list, though, according to all the data, is Arizona, worst state to live. Natural beauty is abundant, they say, in the Grand Canyon, but so is ozone, particularly in heavy populated Maricopa County, home to Phoenix, and to some of the worst air quality in the country. According to the American Lung Association, Arizona is stingy when it comes to public health funding, has shortage of doctors, mental health providers, even though there is no evidence of election fraud in Arizona, and not for lack of trying to find it, state lawmakers passed new restrictions on mail-in voting this year. Strength, air scored poorly in all metrics. Arizona scored poorly in all metrics. Air quality, public health funding, crime, inclusiveness are up. So there you go. A grade of F for Arizona.
Wait, inclusiveness is a weakness?
lack of inclusiveness.
Oh.
And the market is opening in 1 minute here, guys. So that is going to do it for our show today. Guys, I'm not going to be doing any live trading right now as we get this. I have a lot of work to do here on the studio. So I'm going to be checking the markets here on my own. Join my Telegram group. I'll be posting some moves that I make over there. Just go to morninginvest.com/telegram, and I'll be posting some of the moves that I'm making, some trades that I'm making, and stocks that I'm watching this morning. But I
do have a super chat.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So Tyler is asking, Clayton, can you talk about either the Ethereum founder quitting crypto and what that will mean for crypto future?
I don't think it's a big deal for crypto's future. Ethereum founder, because of, he's concerned about safety threats, basically, Anthony DeLorio. And he's basically not going to be involved in any new DeFi projects. He's worried about the safety of his family. He's hired security. I can't really understand like what he's worried about, though. Like I think he's worried about people losing money, and so they're coming after him if they've lost money in Ethereum or other DeFi. I don't know. But he says it's just not worth it. He wants to solve larger problems like homelessness and other things that he wants to spend time on. So he wants to get out of doing like new blockchain projects. Okay. He says he wants to do more with his life. So I don't think it's going to have any broad impact on the market in general. That's my thought. All right, everyone, the market is open. Go make some money. Thank you, everyone, for a great show. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Again, thanks for letting us reach 600,000 subscribers here on the network. I really, really appreciate it. Thanks to all of you. And subscribe. Grab our morning newsletter at morninginvest.com. I've got a lot of work here to do in the studio to get this thing up and running the way that I want it. And Dave and I are working on some graphics today as well to make the show look even that much better starting tomorrow. So thank you, everyone. We will see you a little bit later. Again, check out our Telegram group. So I'll be posting over there as the market opens.
Here, hold on. I have a link to your Telegram. Here you go. Go follow Clayton on Telegram right there.
Morninginvest.com/Telegram. I think we've got like 3,000 people in our Telegram group.
Nice.
Awesome. So thank you, guys. Much love to all of you. We will see you tomorrow. Peace.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.